Another calendar year, another session of Congress. There's a big agenda ahead, depending on your point of view, or a limited one. With a survey of the scene as the curtain opens, David Hawking, senior editor of CQ Roll Call. And David, it was a heavy lift getting everything done just weeks ago. Seems like years ago now. But what are you looking for mainly in terms of, let's talk about the big topic, will Paul Ryan stick around and will he be able to make good on his promise to get some sort of regular order back for federal agencies and their budgeting?
You know, I think he has a decent shot. What I think a storyline that got lost a little bit at the end of last year when there was the rush to finish the giant omnibus appropriations bill is that part of that deal that was essentially cut right as John Boehner was walking out the door as Speaker and Paul Ryan was taking over was something that's going to help Paul Ryan significantly return to regular order here in 2016, which is that they did get an agreement not only for how much to spend in the budget year we're in, but how much to spend in the budget year we're now getting ready for, the one that will be called Fiscal 17, which starts, only 9 months from now on October 1st. So the top line on spending on both defense and non-defense has been agreed to, and that sets the stage for actually writing bills without a lot of disagreement about how much to spend. Everybody's agreed to how much to spend, and there's now plenty of time to do this work. And the other thing is there's not a whole lot else going on in Congress. So both Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell have said they really want to try and do what hasn't been done in 20 years, which is devote the time to writing 12 different bills to fund the government and get them all passed and signed into law by the end of September. And there, you know, I think in many years, those of us who cover this stuff have sort of started to roll our eyes and say, yeah, that's what they say every year. This year, I think there's a chance that it could be different because there is the time to do it. There is an agreement on the money, and there's not a lot else getting in Congress's way.
Now, there have been some administrative actions that will affect federal agencies and the way they work. There's the whole immigration executive orders. There's the EPA and what it's doing on the pollution front.
Right.
And looks like forthcoming more action on guns and gun ownership and so forth. Again, these are administrative actions. They're not legally done by Congress as part of legislation. Any signs that the Republicans, at least, or anyone in Congress will take that on and say, no, you can't do that by law? It has to be something that originates in the legislature, or will those things stand?
You know, there will be a lot of squawking, and there'll be a lot of anger, and sort of a lot of table pounding, and that'll be echoed by many of the presidential candidates, some of whom are, as we all know, are senators. But in the end, there is not going to be a legislative way to stop the president that's going to come close to getting enacted this year. Really, the only way, two ways to prevent the president from doing this are for somebody to file a lawsuit and have it bubble up through the courts, or for Congress to make a run next fall at adding policy riders to one of these dozen spending bills that we think might have a chance to get through, saying the president, essentially what they do is they say the president cannot spend one dime of what we're appropriating to carry out the following policies. Now, that's exactly what the Republican strategy was for thwarting Obama on a couple of dozen fronts this past fall. And in the end, the president succeeded in essentially putting up, you know, a relatively stiff arm and saying, sorry, you know, I'm not going to go along with this. I'm not going to sign a bill that restricts my limitations, and you basically don't have the votes in Congress to make me do it. So I would expect a repeat of that dynamic in the months leading up to the election.
One of the quirks in this legislative session just concluded with the Republicans, that is, in charge of the Senate, is that the Senate Majority Leader now, McConnell, did not roll back something that Harry Reid had instituted, which was the so-called nuclear option on cloture. And I just wonder why they didn't revert to that old rule, because it seems to help the party that's in power.
That's a good question. One reason was that they really didn't need to in this current environment, essentially with the Republicans. What the nuclear option, by the way, was only about nominations. It was never about legislation. It was only to allow the Democrats when they were, I mean, this was instituted by Harry Reid and the Democrats when they were trying to get some of the president's nominees through over the Republican filibuster. Now, once the Republicans took over, they essentially have the power to set the agenda, so they have the power to decide when any of these nominees are even going to be brought before the Senate. And so they didn't really need to change the nuclear option to get what they wanted, which was to slow walk, in many cases, many of the president's nominees. Second-tier administration, cabinet-level jobs, agency jobs, ambassadorial nominations, and judgeships, all, depending on how you look at it, and there's ways of slicing and dicing the statistics all kinds of different ways, the Republicans have already slowed it down successfully. They're likely to slow it down even further in this election year. There's actually a tradition in the Senate, a modern tradition in the Senate, that no judicial nominations at all of the presidents get confirmed within 6 months of an election. That actually goes back to the Johnson era, when it was a Democratic Senate, that there was essentially a conclusion in the 1960s that once it got too close to the end of a lame duck president's time in office, he shouldn't be able to make any lifetime appointments.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at CQ Roll Call. And moving on to some of the other issues, I mean, VA, IRS were two of the big agencies that were in congressional crosshairs a lot over the last really 2 years until now. And there have been some legislative actions affecting them that took place in the last session. Are they pretty much out of the woods now in terms of being in those crosshairs and maybe can implement some of the reforms that Congress hoped for?
That is exactly the way it looks to me. Yes, essentially the Republican Congress has moved on. If they are going to use their investigatory powers this year, probably I wouldn't be surprised to see another flare-up of the famous Benghazi investigation. Probably there's one more chapter to be written in that story, but it seems as though the IRS and the VA, the Republican oversight of those two departments or agencies have moved on, and the Republicans are looking for probably fresh targets. They'll be open for some fresh targets if they see any kind of malfeasance or misbehavior in the Obama administration, especially something, to be honest, that they think would help their presidential nominee or wound the Democratic presidential nominee. I mean, to state the obvious, but you sort of can't state it often enough, a presidential election year is uniquely political in Congress. Almost everything that is that happens in Congress has some sort of presidential campaign or congressional campaign subtext. So almost anything, any headline you see out of Congress, you can probably trace back to the presidential race or this race for control of the Senate pretty easily.
And so that gets back also to the issue of nominations. And there are a lot of politically nominated jobs open in the federal bureaucracy, but it's safe to say that the senior executives who are career people are probably pretty much can expect to operate as the de facto heads in those particular situations because there won't be political nominees coming between now and November.
That's right. I mean, for example, I think this is, unless I missed something over the holidays, the Arne Duncan, the Secretary of Education, has stepped aside at the end of the year, and the president is not even planning to formally nominate a successor. He's just going to let the guy who's the deputy work as the acting Secretary of Education, I think, through the end of the administration. So that's sort of one indication of just the fact that the president doesn't have much political capital left in Congress. He doesn't want to spend it on nomination fights. He doesn't want to look goofy by sending nominees up and having the Republican Senate just sit on them. So, yes, you're probably right that many of these political Senate-confirmable jobs that come open will stay open, and senior executive service people and other underlings, under the top-flight political appointees will get to do the job through next January.
David Hawking, senior editor of CQ Roll Call, as always, thanks for those predictions.
Thanks, Tom.
And you can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.